Live from the world's greatest race course, this is WGN's coverage of the Indianapolis 500. Now from the broadcast center at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, here's Dane Neal.
Beautiful skies over Indianapolis as WGN Radio brings you exclusive coverage of the greatest spectacle in racing, the largest single-day sporting event in the world, the Indy 500. Stay tuned for Mario Andretti, Chip Ganassi, Danny Sullivan, Elio Castroneves, our pole sitter Scott Dixon, even Jay Leno, and more. Excited to have the busiest guy here at the Speedway on with us to kick things off, the president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the one and only Doug Bowles. Doug, it's race day.
It is, which is awesome. It's been 3 years since we've been able to have a race day like this.
And not even the race day. So much happening here outside of what's happening on the track. This week, the entire week has been action-packed.
It has been. It's been a great couple of weeks, really kicking off with the Grand Prix that we had a few weeks ago, and the qualifying was so great. That practice on Monday and carb day on Friday, it's just been a lot of fun continuing to just get back to normal here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
There isn't really anything normal about what's happening here today. This is, and describe it, it's the most anticipation and excitement in maybe 20 years, certainly since the 100th. I mean, this place is sold out.
Yeah, it's been a challenge the last 3 years for all of us as we've gone through the pandemic, and being able now to have this event and have everybody come back, people are able to continue the traditions that they have with their families, and there is a lot of anticipation. I think pre-race is going to be pretty emotional for a lot of folks.
It is, because really you are, just as motorsports did in the pandemic, having the race here, having it happen. It is really, you know, we've been through this. It is bringing people back. Kicking off the summer, just bringing fans back, not only to Indianapolis, but to racing, to the world.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the fun, is getting those fans back. And this is more than just a race. It's a huge event. And I've been able, even this morning, talking to fans, people that come generational, that, you know, their grandpa brought their dad, who brought them. That's what makes it so special. So it's really about everybody coming here. This is what we do. We get to celebrate the men and women who've served our country as part of Memorial Day weekend. And then we get to watch 33 drivers fight for 500 miles to see who can win that race.
Before we let you go, just lastly, you know, as many familiar things as people are going to know and love about this, you're always building in new and exciting things into the situation here. What can things or people look forward to that may be different, maybe a surprise for this year?
Well, I think the biggest thing for 60% of our fan, they haven't been here since 2019, so they haven't seen a lot of the changes that Roger Penske's allowed us to make, so that's part of that for those folks. You know, I'm really excited about our flyover and our pre-race. We got the Thunderbirds doing a double flyover. I saw them practice yesterday. It's going to be fantastic. I think what makes the 500 special, though, is that pre-race is predictable. There is just such emotion and energy in that pre-race, and that's, for me, some level, that's even better than the race, and I know a lot of our fans feel that way too.
Somebody's going to win and be a part of history. Everybody wins that is here today and enjoying this moment. Years from now, they'll say they were here. Doug, we'll let you get back to it. It is a busy day, race day. Thanks so much for jumping on the show.
All right, well, thanks for having it, and take care and have everybody north of us. So thanks. We'll see you soon.
I hope that they are already on their way or in place. Thanks, Doug. Coming up, we're going to take a break. After this, Chip Ganassi joins us live from the Indy 500 at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, as we get closer to the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500, honored to have on Motorsports Hall of Famer, driver, team owner, a name so associated with racing and, more importantly, winning for the last 30 years, and the only team owner in history to have won the Indianapolis 500, the Daytona 500, the Brickyard 400, Rolex 24, 12 hours of Sebring, and most recently the 24 hours of Le Mans, the one and only Chip Ganassi. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. And you're great, too. We got to fit all that on the business card. I'm not sure how big the business card is, but it's always a great time to be Chip Ganassi, maybe even more so this year, right? Because you have all-time great drivers in six-time champ Scott Dixon. You've got the current IndyCar Series champion Alex Palou. You have one of the best storylines in motorsports with seven-time NASCAR champion Jimmy Johnson. You know, fans everywhere, they're excited about this race more so than I think ever, and you have some of the biggest reasons to be excited. Do you get excited about that stuff, or is this just business as usual for Chip Ganassi?
No, hey, it's you know, they often talk about baseball being the harbinger of spring, but let's face it, going to Indianapolis for the Indianapolis 500 is the harbinger of spring for me. You know, it's such a historical place and such a loaded with tradition, loaded with history, pageantry, and really racing. It's the world capital of racing, if you will. And it's a hell of a big event to win, and we want to go back and win it again. So I look forward each year to going to it. Yeah.
you've won races in so many different series. We just listed a bunch of them, you know, and there's a certain cachet to the Daytona 500 for sure. But I don't think there's really anything, maybe even in sports, you know, maybe it's like an Oscar for an actor or whatever, but it's the kind of thing that gives you a piece of immortality, right? For the rest of your life. If you win it or a part of that race team or you're the owner, every time you get introduced, it's there.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what they say. They say Indianapolis 500 winner, Chip Ganassi. Right. So it's nice. It's one of those events that, like, it's the Super Bowl. And, they, you know, a lot of sports fans don't understand why we might have our Super Bowl mid-season or you know, why the Indianapolis 500? Why is it in May in the middle of the season? Why is it not at the end or the beginning? But it's a tradition that we uphold, and we're honored to be a part of it.
And you raced in it as a driver as well, and with all your success as a team owner, sometimes it gets lost, the experience as a driver, particularly IndyCar driver. How often, you know, on the business side, obviously it's a big business. Racing is a business. Does that come into play, you know, when either you're giving advice or direction for the race teams? You know, the business side of it is always there, but your perspective as a driver, how often does that come into the decision-making?
Well, I think any of the you know, the professional teams in any of the professional sports, I mean, you see people that, you know, have had success if they participated in the sport itself, or they bring some intrinsic knowledge to the sport. They're not just somebody that's has a lot of money that bought a team or something like that. I think a lot of the successful team owners have been involved in the sport in one way or another over time, either as a player, a manager, something like that. And so I think that's what I bring. I mean, I think I can talk to the drivers. I think I have a good understanding of what they're going through, and I think they appreciate that in me. I'm not one of these owners who gets caught up in all the minutiae, but I do like to have my fingers on things from time to time to keep the pulse of the business.
One of the things, there's so much sort of excitement for racing in a bunch of different series and all that. And of course, Jimmy Johnson there has had unparalleled success on the NASCAR side of thing. And then coming into IndyCar. And I think back to when we talked a little bit earlier with Juan Pablo Montoya, who, you know, with you and those teams put him in his racing career on the map, and he went off and then did Formula One. Is it easy, in your opinion, to be able to move back and forth? Should you be in one to have success in the other? Or can you go, let's say, from the stock car side and expect success on the IndyCar side?
You know, I think you have to look at those on an individual basis. I think, it's just ask Michael Jordan. It's tough to go from basketball to baseball. It's a tough road to hoe. A concert pianist, does he have an understanding of how to play a guitar? I'm sure he does. Does he understand the notes and the music? And can he play a guitar? Yes. But is he going to become Jimi Hendrix? I don't know. It's very, very difficult. You know, and we forget in professional sports sometimes, you know, with all the sports that we're bombarded with, we do get bombarded with a lot of sports, and so we naturally think we're so bombarded with it, anybody can do it, or we can all do it. But we forget sometimes the people that are at the top level of the sport are the final 1 or 2%, and that's all we're talking about. And every sports team is loaded with the top 1 or 2% of the sport, and so it's not something that's just as easy to be switching from one sport to another. So maybe as it used to be, you know, in the 60s and 70s, you had a lot of guys that did that. But it's a tall, tall order. And Jimmy Johnson's finding that out in IndyCar racing. He's having a great time. He's learning. And he'll do great on the ovals. And you know, he's fine, a little bit challenging on the road courses, but he'll be fine. He can win the Indianapolis 500.
When you look at the capabilities of the talent, the aptitudes, that is one thing, but opportunities are there as well. And, you know, racing is the one sport where the car is really that great equalizer. I think success can come down to talent.
No question. You're relying on a lot of people on these teams to make it happen. I mean, look, let's face it, Scott Dixon or Jimmy Johnson, Tony Kanaan, any of these drives for us, Alex Palou, Marcus Ericsson. They don't change the tires. They don't build the engines. They don't do the pit stops. You know, it takes a lot of people you have to bring along to work at a very high level to bring home an Indianapolis 500 win or a championship.
Yep. I mean, and they would be the first, of course, and you share that too. You get a lot of the attention, as do the drivers, but it takes a real team, and there's a lot of opportunities that are there. But racing is not like maybe some other sports where you could go out for it and then find a way into whether it's coaching or some other things. It's a bit of a mystery. And so as opportunities are there, maybe on the driver's side, you look at Simona Di Silvestra and you look at Sarah Fisher is going to be driving the pace car, but women in motorsports, and I think this is really great because the car is the equalizer. I think with more opportunities, you're going to see that talent come to the top in all areas, whether it's the business side, that very important side of a race team, or on the track. And excited to see about the Women in Motorsports initiative with Ganassi Racing. So talk a little bit about that. The inspiration, is this to sort of, you know, create your own team of people that are, that you can utilize and benefit from, or is there sort of a greater, higher purpose built into it? Talk about starting it.
Well, yeah, thanks for asking about women in motorsports. It's an interesting thing, and it has a lot of different levels on it. But if you take the decision that you're going to start by saying, okay, let's help drive gender equality in our business, in motorsports, you say, well, why do you want to do that? And sure, some people do it to check the box, but I think something, you know, what you find is when you drive some different genders, you know, the female gender into motorsports, you get a little spark in the diverse workforce. You get a spark in innovation when you have a diverse workforce. And, you know, that's something that everyone is looking for, that elixir in any business, is how to spark innovation and influence and economic inclusion. You know, you do that by driving gender equality. And so we want to inspire young women, you know, to be a part of our championship organization. That's the way to do it. We want that under our roof, Monday through Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We want to have some innovation. So the way to do that is to get new ideas. How do you get new ideas? New people, bring in females. They have some great, great things they bring along with them that I think many businesses are leaving out right now.
Let the listeners know we're talking with the one and only Chip Ganassi, and, you know, as your partner in a bunch of different ways. And, you know, we say it for the listeners, we talk about it with the drivers as well on a regular basis, more so than any other major sport. You know, that partnership on the sponsor side is essential. It's essential, and it's important not only on the financial side, but when you can get a partner, and we've, you know, worked with them and covered them and highlighted some of the things that they do up here in the Chicago market and around the country with PNC Bank. And it's more than just promotional opportunities in the marketing and the logo, and certainly the dollars, you know, where you have Scott Dixon, you know, in classrooms with kids teaching and kind of, you know, raising awareness of things and creating some opportunities for people to get inspired. And so PNC Bank is involved in the Women in Motorsports initiative as well.
No question. And they want to kickstart an on-site learning program and a career development experience. That's what these young people are looking for today, especially women, is a career developing experience, not just a 9-to-5, sit at a computer 9-to-5. They want a career developing experience, and that's what they're going to get in this program, where they're going to be on site, they're going to be right there, right on the team, in many capacities. And we have fully funded internships from PNC. We have, you know, 5 college students we're having on the team, 5 women. I'll give you an interesting story, Dave. At the 12 Hours of Sebring about a month ago, we won that race, and our chief engineer on that car was a female. And a lot of females would find that hard to believe. But the chief engineer on that car set the car up and called the entire race was a female. So that's the kind of story we need to tell out there and inspire other young women. And PNC's being a big part of that now with our IndyCar team as well.
Yeah. I mean, and what is that phrase they say? If you can see it, you can be it. And to see people doing it makes it seem possible. It isn't so mysterious or like landing on Mars or something. This is like, hey, that person isn't so different than me.
I remember the days at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway when females weren't even allowed in the garage area. And
really?
It's nice to see come full circle. Sure.
Wow.
Sure, it was in the early 80s. It was in the early 1980s. They finally let women in the garage area, you know. So this is just this is what it's come to is now. We have female engineers on the team that are engineering race wins for our drivers.
Coming up for the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500, there's going to be a lot of women and everybody else, every kind of person going to be in the garages and 400,000 in the stands. And so we get to it. You know, this will be the first kind of full effect Indy 500 that we've had in a few years. So, Chip, do you see all of this stuff, you know, all of the other cool things, you know, the concerts and, you know, the parades and the jets and all that? Is that just kind of noise that you have to sort of tune out in order to be ready for a championship? You mentioned early on that you get excited about this. You're in a business that is based on fun and entertainment and just excitement, right? Or do you block it out? How do you see all of the stuff that makes the greatest spectacle in racing?
I think that's all a part of it. It's sure the pageantry and the parades and the jets and the stars and the Hollywood people that are there and the other sports stars. Sure, that's all. I don't want to say it's just noise, but that's something you think about, what I would say, Monday through Friday. And, come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, especially race day, I get probably am considered too much of a purist. And I would probably personally erase that sort of stuff out. And, you know, we have a job to do, and that's win. And we like winning. So we want to focus on the core business. Our core business is winning races.
See, that's it, right? The core business is winning. And along with it comes, of course, you know, you got to focus the BorgWarner Trophy. And we talked about it, that little piece of immortality. Last thing, Chip Ganassi, thousands, tens of thousands of people are going to be traveling from the Chicago area all around the country and the world, but certainly a lot from Chicago for the race. And WGN Radio was the original radio voice for the 500. And so we're sharing with a lot of these racing legends and people in and around the sport, you know, any kind of Chicago thoughts that you may want to share for the listeners?
Well, I mean, just I remember, you know, my little foray down there in Cicero at Chicago Motor Speedway. We had a race down there for a few years. It was a great event.
I was there.
I'm sorry we didn't make it all happen. Sorry we didn't continue there and make it happen, but it was a great experience, and I miss all my friends in Chicago, but made a lot of great friends there, and enjoyed a great time in that town. But I encourage everybody to come down I-65 in Indianapolis. Come see the world's greatest motor race.
The world will be there. They will be watching, you know, global audience, and of course live at the Speedway with you. And I know tons of people are pulling for you, Chip, and the great team. And the odds are, you know, you've got people that can win it. And so you'll, more likely than not, you may be in victory lane as well, getting to celebrate. So we're going to let you get back to it. And thanks so much for everything that you're doing for the sport. We'll have links up for Women in Motorsports and PNC. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks, Blaine. And thanks for having me on today. And hello to all our fans in Chicago.
Thanks, Chip, and that is great. Stay tuned for the broadcast here live from Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're going to have Mario Andretti. We're going to have Elio Castroneves. We're going to have the pole sitter, Scott Dixon. We are even going to have, the reports say, we will have Jay Leno on with us as well. So it is going to be a great day here in Indianapolis. And if you're making your way down, I hope that you are ready to sit in some traffic. Hopefully you'll get here on time and be able to enjoy the greatest spectacle in racing. It is going to be amazing. Also, if you want to, and this is something happening at WGN Radio, if you want to enter to win tickets to see IndyCar racing at Road America, it is one of the favorite road courses of all drivers from all series, and that is coming up June 9th to 12th. Go to WGNradio.com/contests, and then you can enter to win. Stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Mark James. He is the lead announcer for the Indy Racing Network, and they will be taking this broadcast after our pre-race show, so keep it here. The Indy 500 is back home again on WGN. 720 WGN live at Indianapolis Motor Speedway as the Indy 500 is back home again on WGN. And so much is happening here, and excited to talk with Jimmy McMillan. He's the Senior Corporate Counsel and Chief Diversity Officer for Penske Entertainment. Jimmy, welcome back to WGN under different circumstances, right? We've got a full house today. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about the track. And one of the things we try to promote and talk about and just highlight over the course of the year is people think about the Indy 500, that this is one event that happens on one day. And we know even this week so much happening. But what I love is that the Speedway is a lot of things to a lot of people throughout the course of the year, and working on being more things to even more people.
Absolutely. We use this track for so many things. We have other events here. Obviously, we have the Brickyard 200 with NASCAR when they come out, and IndyCar, and we're here on the same weekend. But people don't realize we also have a Ferrari event. We have a SVRA event, Farthest Day. We have a SRO World Challenge GT event. But the other thing that we have here, which is kind of really relevant to my life, is NXG Youth Motorsports. We have kids, urban kids from the inner city, who come here and they learn STEM techniques on Saturdays and Sundays, and then they race for 2 to 3 hours on Saturdays and Sundays. And these kids are really competitive, racing in cars that can go up to 60 miles an hour. It's a program run by Rod Reed that's been here for 16 years. My son is an NXG Youth Motorsports racer. And it's things like that that we do that really impact our community.
You think about the introduction to motorsports, to racing, where that comes from. And it isn't always walking in here and seeing this and being impacted. Sometimes it is a conversation in the classroom, right, that has maybe some teachable moments and a higher purpose built into it. And I love that racing is doing that. We'll be talking a little bit later, and we did just with Chip Ganassi, about women in motorsports. And when it comes to the diversity on the motorsports side, the Urban Youth Racing League, those guys know those people very well, the Martins, and down at Daytona with them. And it's exciting to see that. And talk about that, those efforts, right, to kind of reach out, growing the fan base for sure, growing more people and excited about motorsports, and, of course, that teaching piece.
Well, as we talked about last year, you know, Roger Penske bought this wonderful facility in the Spirit Series back in January of 2020, shortly thereafter COVID hits, and then George Floyd is murdered. And at that time, Mark Miles and Roger called me one morning and said, what can we do? Can we put together a diversity plan? What are we doing as a sport? And literally, I sat down with Mark Miles and Roger and came up with the Race for Equality and Change in about 4 hours before we announced it.
Now, come on, Jimmy. Did they say, hey, Jimmy, we got an idea. We're going to do a press conference. You figure that part out. We'll see you there.
Yeah, they sat with me to do it. But it was certainly a joint experience at a table where there was a time clock running on what are we going to do. And it was really very easy. It's something we've all been thinking about for a long period of time. One of the things we thought about, obviously, is internally, how do we look in our full-time staff, our seasonal staff, what are the things that we can do to make sure we reflect the community. Another piece was, who do we do business with as far as MBEs and WBEs? Are we doing business with everyone in the community? But then there was this third piece of pipeline. And not just pipeline in terms of drivers, but pipeline in terms of engineers, pipeline in terms of marketing, HR, facilities, the people who build these tracks and maintain them. Are we bringing people into the sport holistically from all of our communities? Because if you do that, that's going to spread and grow roots just like a tree. And so the programs that we're invested in now are like Riverside Soapbox Derby's team, which is a right next door in Hallville, the Riverside Park. That team has had national champions, lots of African-American and Hispanic drivers in Soapbox Derby. Those kids are putting together carts and racing them. We're supporting that program. NXG, we've expanded that from Indianapolis, where we serve about 200 kids here, to now we have a full ride program in Detroit that has 200 kids in Detroit. So we are expanding the NXG Youth Motorsports programs to other cities. We're supporting the National Society of Black Engineer Purdue go-karting team. So we found funds for that. And you should see the other folks who are coming on board. Firestone has come on board as a supporter for the Race for Equality and Change. Shell is coming on board as a supporter for the Race for Equality and Change. We bought over 4,000 kids here in the month of May from schools in the Indianapolis Public School District and charter schools to get not just come and see the track, but be educated on the different opportunities we have here. And we were able to feed them because of our sponsorship with Donato's. So it's really building a lot of steam and momentum, and it is having a strong and hard impact on our community.
Rightly so. People, you know, they align and they think of Roger Penske with racing, obviously, here now as the owner for this. But your role, you know, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it doesn't completely define Jimmy McMillan, right? Because with Penske Entertainment, talk a little bit about the wider world of Penske, and maybe that was one of the things that was built into that thought process on things here at the track, was things that maybe were happening at Penske and other areas.
Absolutely. And obviously, we have the series, the NTT IndyCar series and IMS Productions, but we are part of Penske Corp, which includes Penske Trucking, all those big yellow trucks you see with Roger's name on them. We also have Penske Automotive Group, which are all the car dealerships that exist out there. And we are really part of a global company. Over in Europe, they have a center group where Jody Williams is their chief diversity officer. And we actually interact, and we are actually leading and talking to the other entities about what we're doing here so that they can emulate it in the dealerships and emulate it in the other aspects of Penske Corp.
talk about your relationship with racing. Case in point, you're the physical embodiment of a lot of the things that you're working on and implementing and promoting, but you also, and just like we do, WGN Radio was the first radio station to ever broadcast the 500. This race has Chicago roots built into it, and so do you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I'm from the south side of Chicago, 113th at Eggleston, went to Morgan Park High School. I'm a proud Mustang. And at the time when I left Chicago, I didn't know anything about racing. But now it's a part of me. It's a part of who I am. I wish all Chicagoans would take the journey and take the trip and come to the greatest spectacle of racing. It's really hard to believe. Today we'll have over 325,000 fans here. Right now, as I look over your shoulder, there's a 55,000 person EDM concert going on, and there's flames, you know, firing in the air and smoke and water. And I think it's just hard to believe for people who've never been here. And in the middle of that, I'm looking at a pristine golf course that's inside of the track. So it's just a lot to see here.
I mean, the facility is one thing, you know, and it's crazy to think that, and you can't even explain it to people, that you can't explain that, oh, by the way, while the race is going on, there's this, you know, EDM concert that's happening, and it's well attended to. It's hard for people to kind of wrap their head around everything that is IMS.
Absolutely, and you know, the first thing you hear, this year, for this race, we've got 4,000 first-time attendees who are coming. People who've grown up in this community, some been here, you know, 57 years old, have never been to the race. And
wow. They're
so excited. And they have so many questions. The first thing they're wowed by is how big the place is. They just cannot grasp. Even though you've driven around it, once you get in it, it's just hard to believe that you can't see from turn one to turn three. That a 2.5 mile oval is so big. But then once the cars get started, the fact that they can make it around this place so fast, it truly is mind-blowing, and TV does not do it justice.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Jimmy McMillan. He's the Senior Corporate Counsel and Chief Diversity Officer, Penske Entertainment. And as much as you do on the official obligation side and, of course, making a difference in a bunch of different ways, you're a fan, too. We talked about it before we got on the air. There are so many storylines happening with this race. There are so many opportunities for history. So do you have any favorites? We all think, you know, whatever happens, we all win getting to be here. But what do you think?
You know, officially, I can't have a favorite, but my mother is a huge Will Power fan. You know, a little story. My mother's African-American from Mississippi, didn't know anything about racing, and she met Will Power, and she has this saying that he has the will and he has the power.
That is a pretty great racing name, right?
It is absolutely a great racing name. She was here when he won the 500, and she has been a fan ever since. And last year, she held a barbecue, and Will Power came the Saturday before the race and spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours with my mom and our whole family, and it was just fantastic. And I have a special place in my heart for Will because he actually was the one who discovered Miles Rowe for our Force Indy racing team. That's our all-African-American racing team that we started during the Race for Equality and Change. They raced in USF 2000, and Miles Rowe was the driver. Will is the person who brought Miles to the attention of Roger and told Roger, hey, I raced him in a kart and I couldn't beat him. And now Miles has won two races in USF this 2000. This year, he was the first African-American driver to win an IndyCar sanctioned event. Last year in New Jersey, he's podiumed, I believe, now four times this year. He's competing for a championship, and that's because of Will. We are now, Force Indy is now racing in Indy Lights with Ernie Francis, known driver with, you know, raced with Tony Stewart. That team is doing extremely well under Rod Reed's leadership. And so, you know, I got to root for Will all the time. I love Connor. This is a great race because you don't know who's going to win it. And there's so many drivers, and they're so personable. If you're here during the month of May, these are not guys who are aloof. These are guys you really can walk up to, shake their hand, take a picture with them, get their autograph. You know, it's what makes this sport great.
Well, Jimmy, you hit on it, too, is it's the personalities of motorsports that we need to share. What it is that they're doing, who they are. Will Power definitely knows. He knows fast. He knows drivers. He knows talent. He's fine in that. He also loves drums. He also loves food. He was the grand marshal for the Rev, big event that they had here. So Will Power is all over the place and has got a great chance to win today for Penske. And as we let you go, give information for people to get more information about maybe some of the programs that are going on, maybe to get in touch with you, your office, things that are happening with you here at IMS.
Definitely download the IMS app. That's a great tool to have. Look up the Race for Equality and Change in the IMS app. That's our diversity page. We want to have your kids. If you have an organization, you have any type of organization, program, kids, youth, even in fact, you know, other organizations, we want to host you here. We want to have you here. We want to have your groups meet here. We certainly want to have kids here. And so please reach out to me. We want to bring as many people into this fold as possible. We want you to feel included and welcome here. We want everyone to share in the tradition that is not only the Indianapolis 500, but that is the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the NTT IndyCar Series. There is a place for you here, and believe it, it will blow your mind.
Website, Jimmy?
Website is IndianapolisMotorSpeedway.com.
That's the place to go. Jimmy McMillan, thanks so much for everything that you are doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today. When we come back from the news, we're going to have Louisa Macer. She talks a little bit about the community. So much happening here. The world will be here and watching coming up a little bit later on for the race for the Indianapolis 500, but so many things happening throughout the course of the year. So keep it here, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, as we are closing in on the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500. And one of the things that sets the stage, there are so many things that the pushing 400,000 fans are looking forward to. Obviously, the action on the track as they crown that next champion. History on the line in so many different ways. But we talked about it a little bit before we went on the air, is that everybody who is able to look to the sky before the race is a winner, as the Thunderbirds are here. And you know it's a big event when they are here. Got a chance to talk to these guys before the Daytona 500. And so for those marquee events that happen, you know, if you've got the Thunderbirds overhead, that you are in for something special. Right here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we've got Travis Grindstaff. He is the flight surgeon. Ryan Yingling, he's the operations officer. And guys, welcome to WGN. Welcome to the Indianapolis 500. Welcome to Showtime.
Happy to be here, yeah. Dan. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So we just mentioned it. If the Thunderbirds are here, it's a big event. This is as big as it gets. Super Bowls, Daytona 500. There's nothing bigger than the Indianapolis 500. How is that for you guys? Do you guys have to stay calm for everything? Do you get excited? Do you let yourself get excited? Or is it just business as usual?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say that. I would say this gets us amped up just as much as anything else. You know, we primarily practice for doing aerial demonstrations over air shows, but this is no less you know, an important event for us, where we can showcase our talents and, you know, showcase what it is we do and the beacon of excellence that we hope to portray.
You know, oftentimes we'll see you guys for, let's say, the air and water show and things like that, where you're doing different maneuvers. This is sort of a one-time opportunity to pass overhead and have everybody be excited that you're there. How do you build in a little bit of the creativity that you have in the maneuvers into really that short time span that you've got here at the race?
Yeah, so what you're going to see is, you know, six jets flying 18 inches apart going 5 to 600 miles per hour.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty amazing for us to be able just to showcase just that skill. But also, we have a little something at the end that we're going to do. That's one of our maneuvers for the air show that I think is going to get everyone really excited. So it should be something good that if you've never seen an air show, hopefully it'll let people come out and see that. But hopefully just inspire people to go pursue their dreams, because that's something we really pride ourselves in.
So it's a secret, right? So people are going to see it here. Of course, they'll see it on NBC. We'll describe it on the radio, you know, is what we're going to do. And that's Travis Grind. Stuff. He is the flight surgeon. So I was wondering, and before we went on the air, I'm thinking, well, hopefully your services are not needed today here. Or is it because you're so surgical in the way that you maneuver the plane is that you're like a surgeon?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone on this team's a surgeon if you're talking about maneuvering the plane. But I actually take care of all 130 members of our team and their families. I also fly in the jets to understand the extreme environment that our pilots go through. And like I said, 500-600 miles an hour, 18 inches apart, you have to be in peak physical health to do that.
So Ryan, danger. Right. Is it just run through your blood? You got the need for speed, you know, all that kind of stuff. Is this something that you thrive on? Do you even think about, because I think it would be one of the things, and the race car drivers talk about that, as far as the danger inherent in what they do, they just kind of got to block it out.
Yeah, I would say we hyper focus on what we're doing. And I would think that that is, you know, correlated pretty well to IndyCar, and that you don't really think much about the danger because you're thinking about all the tasks that you have to do in a very short succession of time. So it's exciting, no doubt, but you're certainly hyper-focused on what you're doing.
So it's man, it's machine, it's high speed. I think there's a lot of synergies there with the racing community and with what you guys have. And we see drivers from across the series, you know, they appreciate what it is that the others do. Like when you get in those conversations with drivers, those have got to be different conversations, right? Where you guys are talking about, you know, what can this thing do? What will I feel? What's it like?
Absolutely. You know, we were having a brief conversation the other day with Elio, and we were talking about G's, and I believe he flew with the Blue Angels before, and he was saying how our three-dimensional G's, you know, up, down, positive, negative G's, were very different than what he feels as lateral G's going around the track. So it was interesting to hear his perspective on both what we do and what he does and how to correlate that.
So for an event like this, this is the world's largest one-day sporting event. So as many big things as you do, this will be the biggest. It's also, since the pandemic, the biggest congregation of people, right? Do you do anything different, or do you have some set things? I know there's something special that's coming up that you mentioned. But other than that, you know what the people want. You know what they're expecting, what the Thunderbirds bring. Is there like a set group of activities you guys just plan on?
Well, we spend about 5 months from November to March practicing over and over and over our aerial demonstrations, you know, what we put on for folks at the air that come to see us at air shows. And that's our bread and butter. And we are extremely focused on putting a fantastic and safe show on for the folks that come see us at air shows. It's no different than here. We practice over and over, and we want to showcase that excellence, you know, and precision that we are known for.
Travis, so the vibe, the excitement around this is for a variety of reasons. The pandemic is one of the things. Plus, it's the Indy 500. There is so much excitement for it. As the pilots are overhead, and obviously they're creating a bunch of the excitement as we get ready to start up this race, can you guys, and maybe Ryan, you can answer this as well, can you guys feel like the excitement of the fans? I mean, you're 18 inches apart. You're obviously focused on what's going on 10 and 2 or whatever right in front of you. You don't have time to look around and enjoy. But can you tell how much excitement you're generating in that stadium at that track?
You know, I think we feel that almost everywhere we go. You know, we've been around the country, like you talked about the pandemic. People are finally getting back to normal life. They're coming out, and people want to be inspired, you know, be a part of reality again. Go out and see something excellent, something that excites them, and we feel that too. I mean, the reason a lot of us join this team is not just to be able to do what we do, but to share it with others, and that truly makes it worth every single minute of hard work and dedication we put into this.
Last thing, mentioned early on, you guys are some of the biggest stars here, even though we've got biggest stars, legends of motorsports, but the Indy 500 is one of those events that sort of transcends the sport, brings in people from all walks of notoriety, A-list movie stars, rock stars, presidents of the United States. Are you guys surprised? Well, I don't know, surprised that people that you see on television or that everybody knows as celebrities, how excited they are to meet you guys, especially on, let's say, Memorial Day.
It is inspiring. It's humbling, no doubt, you know. We are just the bearer of the patch that we wear on our chest. You know, we're a representative of the Thunderbird brand. We are a representative of the Air and Space Force. And we hope to be, you know, good ambassadors for the, you know, nearly 700,000 total force airmen that are serving the United States. So that's all we hope to be, is just ambassadors. And we're humbled by, you know, the stars and the big names that we do get to meet.
And is that why you guys got into this? Because, you know, you saw maybe some movies, or maybe you got family in the armed forces, and you said, like, well, hey, you know, it's great to serve your country. It's great to do it in a cool way. This is like almost the coolest way you could do it.
Well, we did just see Top Gun 2, so I think that
what
made us all
think?
A little
What's
more.
What's the review? Was it good?
Hey, go see it.
Absolutely,
awesome.
Go see it. It was pretty phenomenal. But no, a lot of us got into this again. It was a journey throughout life, and I think what brought a lot of us here is wanting to share this with others and hopefully inspire them to pursue their dream, whether that's flying or just going out and doing something that you didn't have the confidence to do. Get outside of your comfort zone, go live your dreams, and make a difference.
Get all the way outside of your comfort
Absolutely.
Zone. 18 inch smart, 600 miles an hour. Just a few minutes, you're going to be overhead for the Indy 500. It's going to be absolutely amazing. But as we let you go throughout the course of the summer, you guys are traveling all over the place. Where's a few places people are going to be able to see you in person?
Sure. So next weekend, we're up in Northeast Indiana in Fort Wayne. So come see us there. It's only a couple hours away from Indianapolis. And then, you know, all over the country, to include Alaska, British Columbia. And I think we're going to 22, 23 states this year. So
wow.
Come see us.
It is a busy schedule. Keep your eyes to the sky for the Thunderbirds here at the Indy 500 and across the country. Guys, thanks so much for your service. Thanks for jumping on the show today. Good luck, right? And have a great race.
Thank Thanks.
Thanks.
Live from the world's greatest race course, this is WGN's coverage of the Indianapolis 500. Now from the broadcast center at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, here's Dane Neal.
Back at the track, 720 WGN, and this place will be coming alive. And Donald Davidson, the historian, said that it is alive, right? It isn't just a facility, a sports facility, a stadium, whatever you want to call it, a track. It's alive. It has vibes, the living, breathing thing. And it is so much more than just the venue for the 500. Excited to have the community outreach and fan engagement manager for IMS linking the community year-round with it, Louisa Macer. Louisa, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So talk a little bit about this. I heard that, of course, during the pandemic, you guys were doing vaccinations, Also, you even swore people into their American citizenship here. You guys do a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, without our fans, without our community, we would not be the place, we would not be the spectacle that we are. And so we are just so thankful that we are able to, you know, give that access to fans, not only to drivers, but also just to build our brand up through our fans and make them the greatest ambassadors that we can have.
You talk about the ambassadors, the drivers. Before we get to the break, you have some of the drivers that are out in the community making a difference as well, not just on the track.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have this program called Spectacle of Homes, where we encouraged our community to decorate, you know, their best decked out porches, have a porch party, and the top winning homes got a visit from an NTT IndyCar Series driver, and then the best home out of those visits got to ride on the AES 500 Festival Parade. So it's a great way to encourage them to not only deck out in our IMS gear, but obviously have a chance to have a driver at your house.
I've seen some of those homes. They are decked out. So think, for the listeners out there, think Christmas, but with the checkers.
Exactly, yes. But for a full month.
So, Louisa, you know, give information where people can find out more information, how to engage, get involved, and be a part of all those cool things you're doing.
Absolutely. So on IMS.com, you can go to the community hub, and there's a calendar on there with all of our activities and activations out in the community. And also just stay plugged into our social media. That's the best way we are able to reach out to fans to see what's upcoming, you know, where drivers are at, and how you can find us out in the community.
We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com. Enjoy the crazy day, Louisa. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a break, and we come back, legendary spin and win Indy 500 champion Danny Sullivan joins us. Keep it here, 720 WGN. 720 WGN on the line, one of motorsports' great drivers and beloved personalities, Hall of Famer and 1985 Indy 500 champion, and the man who made one of its most enduring memories and moments as we head towards the 106th running, the one and only Danny Sullivan. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thanks, James. Good to be talking to you and back on the air with you.
It's going to be great, but let's talk a little bit about this. We know this, unlike almost any other achievement in life or sports, winning the Indy 500, it is life-changing. It's kind of your own piece of motorsports immortality, but, and we got to go there, and I don't know if maybe it's one of those things like the Rolling Stones don't want to play Satisfaction anymore, but the spin and win was like a whole nother level. Did you know, like at that time, at that moment, you knew that obviously this was a unique way to have something happen in a race and come out the winner, but did you know that it was going to be as big as it has become still to this day?
No, not in the least. And to be honest with you, even when it happened, you know, there was still 80 laps to go or something like that, and you know, I still had a lot of racing to do. Almost got involved in an accident when Howdy Holmes and Tom Sneva touched. Got through that one, you know, the whole thing. By the time I finished the race, and you're doing that, not that I'd forgotten about the spin, but it was just like, it just wasn't at the forefront of your thoughts, you know. And, you know, if you remember, there was 7 laps to go, had a pretty good lead on Mario. I mean, pretty good, 4 seconds or something like that. And one of the Whittington brothers had a crash. And when I took the restart with 4 laps to go, prior to that, I looked in my mirror, and one of them was Michael Andretti. And one was another car. I do not remember who it was. And then Mario, because of the way it shuffled out and when the yellow came out. And I thought, oh, well, Michael's not going to hold this guy. And I can't remember who the other guy was, but it wasn't a guy fighting for a position with Mario. And I thought, boy, I'm going to have to really go for these last 4 laps and really not make any mistakes. And so consequently, as you go on, when the checker flag comes out, obviously, you know, you're a little numb with, hey, I just won the 500. But again, the spin was a long time ago, in relative term. It became bigger, obviously, after the fact when they started playing the tape back. But at that time, you know what my biggest concern was coming down pit lane? True story. You used to have to drive it up onto those ramps. Remember the 2 ramps?
Yeah.
To go up on the winner's podium. And I thought, oh, please don't screw it up and miss the ramp or get them to drive it off or something like that. I mean, but it's your for the moment, if you know what I mean. Not with what went on, 80 laps before or anything like that.
It's so crazy you mentioned that, Danny, because that's and to have a sporting moment happen back then, but this was before things could go viral or YouTube or any of that or social media. Like, imagine what something like that would do these days, and still to have it be one of those viral moments even to this day, I think is just a testimonial to the magnitude. But you're right, because over time, you know, the spin and win has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and those 80 laps, it kind of has compressed into, like, I think the public feels like that happened maybe on the last lap, right? That's sort of the perception.
Well, there's I even have friends that introduce me and sometimes will say, this guy did a spin win to win the Indy 500 on the last lap. And it was like, wasn't quite on the last lap, but thank you for saying that. But, no, but it is true. And of course, legends start to take over and, the stories get, magnified quite a bit. But, hey, listen, it's for me, I've probably reviewed that tape in interviews and TV shows and different things. And with people just pull it up on YouTube now and so forth, probably I can't even imagine how many times. And it still gives me, even though I know the results, I still get goosebumps from it, to watch it. It's like, what were you thinking? Oh. But anyway, it's a pretty cool deal. It's, I'm not going to knock it.
It's as cool as it gets. And it is the one thing that fans to this day, when we're putting together some of these features and who are we going to have on the Indy 500 pre-race show, like Danny Sullivan was right at the top of the list. And it's because that was a part of so many people experiencing. So even as you say that, as crazy as it sounds, for so many fans, that's like their favorite way that they experienced it. Or that's a moment, of course, the world saw it and so many in attendance. But it had an impact certainly on your life, of course, but on so many. But get this, and this is, if it's even possible after everything we've just said, but the Indy 500 doesn't completely define Danny Sullivan. So you've had success in many different series in IROC, Kart Series champion, Formula One. I think over the last couple of years, IndyCar I don't want to say it's never been better, but it is really good. It's a super entertaining product right now in IndyCar.
Well, I think that there's a something to learn from IndyCar as well, is that there's a lot of parity in the sport, because basically if you and I had the money, we could go out and start a team, and we can buy the cars and buy the engines, and we have access to what, if we can get the right personnel and the right drivers. But you're seeing so many teams that are coming on strong in IndyCar. I'm not trying to say the big guys like Ganassi and Penske and that aren't there, but there's a lot of other teams up there fighting for the wins and fighting for places and points and everything. And I think IndyCar has always been a super competitive series.
The listeners know we're talking with Indy 500 champ Danny Sullivan. There is nothing bigger than the Indianapolis 500. It is the world's largest one-day sporting event. This year, after 2 years from the pandemic, it is going to be the biggest ever, with the pageantry, the parades, full capacity, and all that. And for Danny Sullivan, what's your, and you mentioned you've been back a number of times, you're back this year as a driver, you probably have to laser focus in on what happens on the track. That's totally understandable, but a lot of the drivers enjoy sort of just the bigness of the Indy 500. What are some of your memories off the track, and like, what's kind of your favorite part of it, either as a driver or a fan?
I was asked this just the other night. They said, what is the best moment that I've experienced here? Obviously, other than winning the race.
Right. That's what you would recommend, Danny Sullivan. You're like, I recommend you win the race. Okay, there you go.
Well, but other than that, but let me tell you something. When you walk out on race day and you walk out of Gasoline Alley and through the little tunnel there under the grandstands or the archway, and you walk out into pit lane and you look right and left on race morning, there is nothing like that. There's no view that anybody's ever had like that. There's nothing like it. And I've raced all over the world in Formula One and been to a lot of the Formula One races now. And the pageantry of what goes on in Indianapolis is just, they're second to none. And the number of people that I have brought there, they cannot believe it, particularly the Europeans who are so diehard you know, racers, they're just blown away by everything that goes on with that. And it's one of those events that ought to be on everybody's bucket list, the same way as, say, a Kentucky Derby or a Formula One race or a World Series game or anything like that. There's just nothing quite like it. TV does it a lot of good, and you guys on radios and everything that goes on, you portray it very well, but there's just nothing quite like standing there one time and you go, oh my, what is this?
It's
special.
For motorsports, it is. I mean, more than any other sport, and you mentioned it, like TV has gotten better and better at sort of bringing you there, but there's no substitute for being there. The sights, the sounds, the smells, the vibration, everything about it, and you build in just the size and scope that is Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and there's nothing like it. You mentioned bucket list, and so a life in racing, yeah, legendary success, and you're from a city known for racing. You mentioned the Kentucky Derby. It's horse racing, right? So we've all heard the story about driving the cab, but some of the listeners had wanted to know, because that's one of the things. It's a place in time and a moment that gets you into this career. That's this passion. Were you completely just hardwired for it, or was there ever a time where did you ever have like family members or friends that said like, hey, you should be, you know, a doctor or an insurance salesman? Was there ever a time where Danny Sullivan like had a fork in the road, so to speak?
A lot of them. Because my family, my mom and dad thought it was pretty, you know, what are you doing? I grew up in a family with two station wagons and no racing, never really went to racing, but had a guy that I knew growing up. I knew his son quite well. And eventually he and I crossed paths, and I used to go out and spend weekends. They lived a little outside of Louisville, and I'd go out there and spend weekends, but he had a Mini Cooper and a little Triumph TR2 with no windshield, and he had all the books, Auto Course, Automobile Year, pictures of him with all these famous racers. And I think that's where the bug was sown. But it literally started as a whim. He helped me years later when I dropped out of school. And so for my 21st birthday, because I couldn't race till I was 21 back then without parental permission, and they were not going to give me that. So he sent me to a driving school for my 21st birthday. Wow. Jim Russell School, the original one at Snetterton in England. And they, with the caveat that if Jim said I had talent, that we could pursue it. And luckily, he was positive on the talent. And that was the easy part. The hard part was, now, this was, of course, before internet, anything like that. And so it was hard to get to raise the money. I mean, I was working at the time as a waiter in New York, and I had, you know, $600-$700 to my name, and that was it. And Frank Faulkner, the good doctor, was, you know, he was an academic, but he had a lot of connections, and we made a lot of connections, and a lot of people like Augie Papps, from who he knew from the days, Papps Blue Ribbon Beer, and Bill Kimberly from Kimberly Clark, all of them up your way. They were all racers, and Frank says, hey, I got this young lad. And Sir Jackie Stewart, he wasn't Sir Jackie then, and Jim Russell think he's got some talent. So they chipped in some money, and that's how it started.
Wow.
And then the hustle started, because now we had to hustle around and try to find money and cars. And then a guy from Louisville, Kentucky, I was about done, and a guy from Louisville, Kentucky, Garvin Brown, who was the heir to Brown Foreman, which is a big liquor company in Louisville,
yeah,
owns Jack Daniels, Early Times, Old Forester, et cetera, et cetera. He said, let's give it a go. I'll try it. And it was a personal thing. Didn't come from the company or anything. It was just a personal deal. And he helped save my career. So those two guys, all of us have friends and family and mentors and people that help out, and there's too many people to mention. You can't do it on your own, or I certainly couldn't. And was thankful to all of the people and the guidance and so forth. But that's how it was. And I think, I can't remember who the quote was, but it might have even been like Tom Selleck. He said he was a overnight 11-year sensation. That was me. You know, it was just a lot of hard work. But, you start piecing together some results, and then you make a few steps forward and then a couple backwards and a couple sideways. And anyway, here we are.
Yeah. Hey, like, as you say, the rest is history. It's amazing though. And I've asked a number of drivers over the years, because it isn't like the other sports where you can't just go out for football. And if you're talented, people will recognize that there's a path to get there. There really isn't like a set and direct path. I know some with the iRacing, there's opportunities, right, where that's even more possible. But it's amazing, because you think without this one person, without that one meeting, without maybe this one race result, you know, the whole history. And like, all of this action-packed history of Danny Sullivan could be different. You mentioned some companies up north. WGN Radio is, we were the first radio station to ever broadcast the Indy 500. So it is in our DNA, and we have that strong connection. Obviously, lots of race fans in the Chicago area, and we have the Indy 500 back on WGN. So if you, I mean, over time, you know, I'm sure you're traveling around, and Chicago's a great food scene. Do you have any kind of thoughts or memories of Chicago that you may want to share, or that come to mind?
Yes, some funny ones, because of Indianapolis back in the Michael Jordan days. Chicago was, of course, that was playoff time, and for the basketball.
Yep.
And Michael and I had been honored together in 1985 with Wayne Gretzky and Eric Dickerson as future sports legends. And so I knew MJ a little bit, and I'd run into him here and there, and every now and again playing golf, and I had a connection. I knew the Crown family out of Chicago quite well, but great camaraderie with that. Chicago's a great town. You know, that was our closest big city, and had an NFL team to Louisville at the time. So my mother and I were diehard Bears fans back in the day, and it wasn't a great record, but great food town, a lot of fun there. Enjoy Chicago.
So many, as much as you enjoyed Chicago, so many fans for Danny Sullivan, of course, for racing in the Indy 500. And even though you haven't been back, thousands, hundreds of thousands of fans haven't been back in quantity to Indy. And of course, for the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500, they will all be back. And so will Danny Sullivan. So Danny, we'll let you get back to it, and excited to see you at the race coming up.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate the talk, and to all the fans out there, watch the Indy 500. It's going to be a special year.
There is no doubt. From legendary history in IndyCar to the bright future, stay tuned. We'll have Debbie Gaul with PNC Bank and Ganassi Racing coming up for the new Women in Racing Initiative, Women in Motorsports Initiative. And keep it here. We've got Scott Dixon. We've got Elio Castroneves, Mario Andretti, Jay Leno. All of that will be coming up before we send it to the Indy Radio Network for the broadcast of the race. The Indy 500 is back home again on WGN.
Live from the world's greatest race course, this is WGN's coverage of the Indianapolis 500. Now from the broadcast center at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, here's Dane Neal.
7:20, back at the track. The Indy 500 is back home again on WGN, and we've been talking a little bit about the history, some legends, and of course the bright future is on full display here as well for the Indy 500, for IndyCar, for racing, for motorsports. Excited to have on the Executive Vice President, Head of Enterprise Technology and Security for PNC Bank. She is working with Ganassi Racing for Women in Motorsports, the one and only Debbie Gaul. Debbie, welcome to WGN.
So glad to be here, Dane. Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome to the Speedway. And this is a thing, too, is, you know, there's, and we talk about PNC all the time, and we'll have Scott Dixon on a little bit later in the program. We already had Chip on, and he is excited for the Women in Motorsports initiative that you guys are doing. And when it comes to those relationships in racing, it's so important, obviously more than any other sport. You got to have great relationships with sponsors and partners when you can do things that not only promote the business, but also, I think, have a higher purpose and affect some change. It's just so huge.
Yeah, we're really so excited to put the spotlight on these young ladies. We're doing this internship program, and with Scott Dixon, you know, obviously in pole position, creating a lot of excitement, giving us a lot of, I would say, you know, voice relative to inviting more women to join motorsports. So very excited to be here. 106 running, very exciting time. The crowd is just going crazy here today, and just really glad to be here.
On the excitement level, you're not alone. Everyone is excited here. The drivers are focused, you know, pushing 400,000 with everybody here. The excitement level is really high. You are, and even on the sponsors, this is a fun place to be. Talk a little bit about this, because I thought when I first got a chance to talk with you, and I thought about this as a fit. You know, it's one thing to have someone someone within a corporation that sort of manages the relationship with motorsports or sporting, or but you guys, when it comes to, and specifically you, Debbie, when it comes to racing, like as much as you do and are equipped for banking, like you're a racer.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love the sport. I love everything about cars and the innovation that comes and how that has really changed our society. And that's why I'm so excited about, you know, this message around inviting more women to join motorsports. And I think it's a very exciting time. I think it's a very innovative time. I think we've got a lot going on relative to, electric vehicles, autonomous driving, and it's a perfect time for women to join the motorsports. I posted last week when we were here, I posted out on LinkedIn, and Lynn St. John reposted my post on LinkedIn, and I was just so, I mean, I had such a groupie moment. I was just so thrilled that she reposted my post on it.
Well, there's a lot of that happening, and here's the thing is, this stuff doesn't happen by itself. You know, in motorsports, and we've talked over the years in a bunch of different ways, regardless of the background of the potential person getting into it, is that it is a mysterious sport to get involved with. You know, it isn't like, you know, baseball or football. You can't go out for it in high school and have those opportunities. And then on the business side, you know, the opportunities are limited as well. So for PNC Bank and you, it's one thing to say, hey, it would be great if there were more women in motorsports. It's one thing to say it. But this was really an undertaking to be able to not only aspire to those things in the messaging, but build those bridges.
It's about breaking down the barriers of entry, and I've been doing that for a long time, with my career. But PNC in particular has sort of amplified that with their focus on diversity and inclusion. And then you take that and you partner it with something like Chip Ganassi Racing, and you really see that huge opportunity to continue to invite more women into traditionally male roles, whether it's technology, cybersecurity, banking, motorsports. And the tactics are quite simple, honestly. It's really about making sure that they see more role models, that they see it as an exciting career, that you invite them in early, that you tell them that they're good at it. And when you do tell young ladies that they're good at this stuff, they actually stick with it. It's really kind of simple. There's not a whole bunch of secret sauce to it.
You mentioned your social media posts, and that's one of the things. You can see it, you can be it, right? But you guys are planning the seeds and creating some of those future role models with this internship program. So how did that work? I see you at a table with Chip Ganassi. Obviously, he's in business, and he'll be the first to tell he's in the business of winning, right? And he wants to win on all levels, and he sees the benefits of it. But how did the whole program get put together where you said, hey, I don't know if it was we got an idea or if, Debbie, you were like, hey, let's do this. How did it happen?
No, it was very organic. I mean, it really just made a whole bunch of sense. Chip Ganassi, to your point, he likes winners, right? And he knows that by bringing more diverse voices to the table, he's going to create a more winning team. And the data shows that diverse teams that have equal representation of women and men, they have more cited patents in the IT industry. They have, if they're on the, you know, you have a diverse board, those boards are more successful. So he knows that it's the right thing to do on so many fronts, both in terms of inclusion as well as winning, which is, another thing. And I think PNC Bank is, really had a long history of making sure that they had a program around this. So we have the CEO, which is around making sure that we give investable capital to women. We have Project 257, which is around, closing the pay equity gap, if you will. So lots of great programs. So it really made sense to, build on the great partnership that we've had for years with Chip Ganassi Racing relative to this internship. And we're really hoping that other teams follow suit, because we do think that if we create more role models, that will attract, if they see somebody else doing it, they know that they can do it. They're gonna feel strong.
It's gonna attract more role models. You're gonna create more role models. You're planting those seeds. They're gonna go into these great ambassadors, right? That are gonna be there for it. And there'll be some competition for these internships. And hopefully, maybe some other companies will get in line and follow your lead and all those kind of things. So, talk about how did you choose this first class? Like, what is it that they are doing? I know they're not necessarily behind the wheel. So many jobs in motorsports. How did you start it all with who you chose?
These young ladies are doing amazing things. We have two folks who are doing engineering. We have one that's doing the actual gearbox building. Interestingly enough, we have one that's doing athletic training. I mean, there is the full spectrum of the ways to participate. And one of the young ladies, when she finishes, she wants to actually set up a karting, a women-led karting organization, because she said karting is so hard to get into. There's so much money involved. And so she wants to actually, when she's done, again, sort of create more pathways for women to enter the pipeline. And ultimately, if you start filling that pipeline, we'll have more drivers as well, right? So, cars don't care whether you're male or female, right?
So it's sort of a great equalizer,
it's
right?
A great equalizer. It's sort of like computers don't care either, and that's why I've been, you know, fairly successful. And if you, you know, if you look at that in terms of normalizing the field, you're going to, again, sort of attract more women to the field. But I was learning this morning that until, I think, 1970, don't quote me on this, I think it was 76, women were not even allowed in the pit. And so...
I know! Right. Jip had mentioned that earlier. I think he thought it might have been, you know, up until maybe even the early 80s. And so you think at how much things have changed. There's so many things we take for granted. And then there's so many things you look back and you're like, well, it wasn't so long ago that right. things were quite a bit different.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, at my age, you know, I think a huge part of what I do is, you know, reaching a hand back and helping make sure that we're inviting, I think, the people who are going to change motorsports to the table to be part of that creative solutioning team to develop these new solutions. And with what we've been through in society, it's been a hard couple of years, but if you look back at history, the best innovations have come out of some of the hardest times for humanity.
Yep.
And again, that's why I think it's so important to have women at the table. They generally speaking have, you know, greener solutions. They're going to be more, you know, socially conscious, if you will, or have a little bit more of that in terms of the voice at the table. So it's very important now more than ever to have women at the creative solution
table.
Let
the listeners know we're talking with Debbie Gile. She's Executive Vice President, the head of Enterprise Technology and Security for PNC Bank. Such a big part of this day. And when it comes to sponsors, and when it comes to getting behind different teams and logos and initiatives, and that translates into some real positive stuff for the business side, it doesn't hurt to have history-making Scott Dixon, you know, with the PNC logo and everything like that. I mean, talk about the excitement within the company. This is a big day.
This is a huge day for everybody who works for PNC and for our community here. We, you know, Scott just is a huge, you know, great ambassador to the brand. You know, the measured way that he goes out there and that he drives, and he does it with the way that he both collaborates and competes on the track, and that's how we win in the market as well. So he just really is an iconic representation of how we like to win in the market. We like to do it well. We like to do it right. And Scott is just amazing. Not to mention the fact that he, you know, figures out how to, I think, get fuel out of the ether. Like I don't know how he does that. But just the nicest guy in the world and a real stand-up individual. His character really represents who we are and how we like to show up. And oh, by the way, win. I mean, 6-time IndyCar championship winner, and always does so in a really humble way, and again seeks to build others up as he does it. So just an amazing guy all around.
The fastest. We were talking with him
before.
In the quality, he's going to be joining us a little bit after this next segment. And we're going to take a quick break. But yeah, every year somebody wins and somebody's on the pole. Not always with the fastest time ever. So Debbie, as we let you go, give information out for PNC, for women in motorsports, so they can get up to speed with everything going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, obviously you can go out and check out PNC.com for a wealth of information. You know, we're out there on all the social media channels promoting women in motorsports. If you want to be a part of it, just go out there and you know, DM us type stuff, and we'll be happy to get people involved. And we are hoping, obviously, that more teams as well sponsor their own internships for women in motorsports.
We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com. Quick break, and we'll be back with Scott Dixon, so keep it here. Ooh. The Indy 500 is back home again on WGN. 720 WGN, just before the 106th running of the Indianapolis 500, and the man of the hour of the race. And we got a chance to talk to him a little bit earlier about all that great work with PNC and Grow Up Great and a lot of the cool things that being a great race car driver can allow you to do with great companies and in the community. But that was before he had done something he hasn't done. And this is a 6-time series champion. This is an Indy 500 winner. But now you add in the fastest. He's the pole sitter for the 106th running, but the fastest time ever. So Scott Dixon, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been it's definitely been a crazy month of May, as always. You know, it's what you expect. It's lots of ups and downs, and you know, for us right now, it's definitely pretty positive. But now the hard part of trying to stay in that position, man.
Every year there's a pole sitter. Every year there is a winner. Not every year is there the fastest time in history. So as a guy who's done so much, where do you put this? Where does this rank?
It was kind of crazy. I felt like Sunday was mostly a history lesson. You know, I always thought it was Ari's 236, but I didn't even know that wasn't done on a pole weekend. It was done on a second qualifying weekend, which was somewhat confusing. And then to learn that, you know, it was a 233 something that Scott Brayton had from the 90s, you know. So to surpass that, was amazing. So it's an honor. It's always an honor to lead this field, you know, and sitting on the pole and you know, leading the field to the start of the race. But this one was definitely very special.
For the fans to have more things to be excited about, the first full-on 500 in a number of years, the excitement from last year was a great kind of lead up to this. Now you got parades and pageantry, and you've got record-setting stuff. It's really setting the stage for really what will be an amazing race.
Will definitely be an amazing race. I think the competition level right now is through the roof. You know, I think it's very much going to be a track position race. You know, you're going to not want to, if you kind of get outside the top 10, it's going to be tough to recover from that, I think. But, you know, it'd be fun to see a packed house. I think they're only 6,000 tickets away from a sellout, which is very cool, you know. And for us, you know, to put on an amazing show in front of so many people is, you know, means so much. You know, the year of 2020, when we actually raced here, and not the month of May, it was the month of August, and with zero people in the crowd, I think we're actually fortunate to witness that, because it shows you and makes you appreciate, you know, what this place is about. It's about the people, it's about this community, and it's about the biggest race in the world, and that was gave you the polar opposite, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see the contrast from what we're going to have here, and you talked about being in a good position when it comes to Ganassi. It isn't just you, right? The whole team, the whole starting grid in the front, Ganassi.
Yeah, all five in the fast 12 and four of the five in the six, you know. So I don't know. I guess this is probably one of those years that you wish that Chipper's only had two cars in the race. But it, you know, I think for him to have five really legit chances at winning this race is huge. You know, if I can't win the race, I truly hope that one of my teammates can. And I think that is very, very possible. So we'll all be working hard, man, and hopefully we can keep it clean and you know, all of us will be racing for that win, you know, come Sunday afternoon.
Not just possible, I think statistically probable, right? That something can happen. Of course, anything can happen, but the likely thing is that Scott Dixon will be running right up front. And hopefully, of course, for the family, Ganassi fans, race fans everywhere, right there in victory lane. So we're pulling for you. And Scott, good luck. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Always a pleasure, man. Cheers.
Live from the world's greatest race course, this is WGN's coverage of the Indianapolis 500. Now from the broadcast center at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, here's Dane Neal.
720 WGN on the line before the 106th Indy 500. Honored to have history-making man and one of the greatest drivers and personalities in motorsports, driver of the number 6 AutoNation Sirius XM Honda from Meyer Shank Racing and four-time Indy 500 champion, going for number 5, Elio Castroneves. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you for having me. This is a great opportunity to be here, and hopefully people will be, what a, you know, amazing difference that we're gonna might be making. That would be a fantastic. I just can't wait to be at the racetrack right now.
As much as it means to you, you know, for, like I said, all those fans watching around the world. Well, so just one 500 championship, it's life-changing, right? Four is as rare as it gets. Five is both unprecedented and right around the corner. Can you even sleep these days? Like, how is it going for you?
I am sleeping. No, don't worry, because I need to get really well rest, but we got a lot of work ahead of us. And I know the competition is fearless. I know they're going to be do everything they can, but we feel what we did last year, we just improved from what we can do this year. And again, this place is always, always magical, but it does pick who's going to be the favorite. And you just got to make sure we put ourselves in that selection that it can pick us instead of anybody else.
You mentioned it too, is what a difference a year makes, right? Last year, you're hoping for a fresh start. You know, there's some people who felt like Meyer Shank was taking a big chance on Elio Castroneves, but they felt you had more left in the tank. A year later, your fourth 500 win, you guys take the 24 at Daytona, the Rolex. The whole five is completely changed. Actually, I'll contend, Elio, that the whole sort of identity of Meyer Shank Racing has changed. Do you feel that, like, at the track with the other teams, that they see you guys totally different? Now.
You're absolutely right. There are so many more people wearing pink these days with the AutoNation Series XM and Arctic Golf logos. So people really embracing, people really basically adapting and also adopting us from, you know, being a different team, underdog team now with the potential to becoming a huge number one. Yes, we know we can't take for granted what we did last year, but we know also we got to work hard to continue, because one thing is to happen once, it's, you know, a lot of people, it's hard to do it, but you can do it. But yeah, we want to keep it doing all the time, and that's our goal.
Yeah, people saw it in person. Like, everybody believes now. You always believe. You've always had that confidence. But now the world knows it, too. Part of the excitement and strength around the team is adding Simon Pagenaud, right? Talk about the dynamic, bringing in another great driver, another former teammate, another Indy 500 winner. I think it just makes, like, in all aspects, you guys a stronger team.
Yeah, Simon is not only an Indy 500 champ, also an IndyCar Series champ. And again, having him, we worked together for so many years, having him on board, it's just another experience to help us to keep growing and keep it pushing. So I like it. I'm happy that he is on board. And yeah, we're going to do great. I'm really happy about that.
So you've been a part of big pressure moments your entire career, of course, with the racing, even like winning Dancing with the Stars. And you love it, right? You seem to thrive on that. So this year, you're going to have all the fans back. It felt like, Elio, there was a lot of fans there last year. It was just an awesome, it just felt like it was really full. But now over 400,000, more excitement, really, honestly, than ever. Is it hard for you to focus, or do you just try to kind of sit back because of the distance between 500 wins? Do you really try for you and your family to just sort of soak in and just enjoy these amazing moments?
Yeah, we look, you got to take opportunities and enjoy those opportunities, you know, but at the same time, you can't leave only on those opportunities. You got to move on. It's the past. Now we are in the present, and we're going to go to the future. Hope that's our goal, and that's what we're going to work for. It, as I mentioned before, this place is, anything can happen, but we got to check all the box before we go into the race. The good news is the rules didn't change from last year, which gives us a very, very good opportunity to start the program again, what we left off. But we did make some improvements, and that's how we're going for this ahead of us.
With incredible accomplishments comes special recognition. I saw the dedication for Castroneves Drive right there at the Speedway. You know, you're going to always be part of, you know, Indy 500 history, motorsports history, but now a permanent part of the track itself. What was that like?
Oh, that's great. That was a very nice touch. Doug Bowles and the entire Indianapolis Motor Speedway was able to do it. I thank them for the recognition. I did joke around that you were allowed to go. There was no speed limit on the Castroneves Drive.
Right.
You can go how fast you want. It's not too long. I don't know how fast you can speed up for it, but it was really cool. I'm very humble and honored to be able to have my name forever here.
Last year, of course, WGN Radio, we were the first radio station to ever broadcast the race. And you, last year, as we brought it back, you predicted your fourth win. So if you can share a little bit about maybe your thoughts on Chicago, just a quick thing. And then what are your predictions here on WGN again for this year?
Well, hopefully we are going to continue what we left over. Last guy that I remember did it back to back. Yeah, it was me. How about that? So why not repeat itself, the results? But we know we're going to have a lot of work ahead of us.
It's going to be great. Of course, so many big Elio fans, and the opportunity not only to see great racing back in full force, but to see something they've never seen before, an opportunity for a driver to win five. And there are so many people who are pulling for you, Elio, because of all the people throughout history who have done it, who have gotten close to the opportunity to do it, you will wear it as well as anyone. So we are excited for it. We'll let you get back to it. A lot to do before that green flag drops. And thanks again for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me again. Looking forward to talk to you soon.
720 WGN live from Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we close in on the 106th running of the race, and on the line, honored to have Indy 500 champion as a driver and an owner, also a kart series champion, one of the biggest and most beloved stars in motorsports, the one and only Bobby Rahal. Welcome back to WGN.
Good morning, Dan. Good being with you. It's been a little while, so it's nice to talk to you and all those listening.
Oh my gosh, this is big because we are having the 3-hour pre-race show live on WGN. We reach, of course, the greater Midwest at all times, lots of places at night, but it's part of that excitement that has been generated by listeners, by race fans. You know, is this is really, Bobby, the first time in a few years that people have been able to really lean in and participate and show up and just be a part of the Indy 500.
Well, you know, of course, it was, when we won in 2020, I said as he drove in, there's nobody in the stands. You know, it was on lockdown pretty much. And I said, watch, this is the race we're going to win. And of course we did. And that didn't really bother me other than nobody was there to share it with us. So, and last year was pretty good. You know, the crowd was decent, I thought, but it was limited. But this year I think is going to be absolutely fantastic. And I'm really excited. I think we've already seen the drama of qualifying and the car's going faster than ever. So it's going to be a heck of a race.
Yeah, when they think about, you know, talking with the Visit Indy folks and just as you're looking at hotel rooms and tickets sold and everything, they're saying that this may even surpass the excitement around the 100th running, which, of course, because of the date and all that kind of stuff, was really super popular. And so to have it back, have you guys felt, and we were, like, I was there, and it was just a really somber kind of crazy moment to have the race run when you and Takuma won it a couple years ago. And have the teams, not only you guys, but maybe the other teams, lulled into some sort of just kind of a peaceful rhythm, and now, boom, it's off the charts.
Well, I mean, let's face it, we went to some races in 19 or in 20 where there was nobody there, and then we went to other races like Road America where you could have fooled me if there was a pandemic. I mean, the track, they had a great crowd in 2020, as they always do at Road America. And so just kind of depended on where we were, which states were a little less locked down than others, like I suppose a lot of sports. But you know, one thing I was proud about motorsports in general is that, you know, we continued to perform. And not all sports could say that. Of course, they all perform in different venues, and that probably has a lot to do with it. But still, we were able to put together a pretty good championship, you know, thank God. As I tell people time and time again, thank God for Roger Penske, because his purchase of the Speedway in the fall of 19 couldn't have been better for him at the time and for us. And it quickly turned, I'm sure, a little bit sour for him not long thereafter. You know, God bless him. And you know, the level of commitment and support that he and his team have given, not just the 500, but the series as a whole, has been tremendous. And I think we're seeing that. You know, every race we're going to, it's better and better. You know, great crowd, TV ratings continue to go up. And this is the kind of leadership that's been needed. So I'm very optimistic about, of course, again, I think people are going to talk about what a great race it was, this running of the Indianapolis 500.
So the excitement for the fans is high at Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing. Excitement is always there. You mentioned Roger Penske, right? You're right, Bobby, because this is the first time that he's been able to kind of fully experience it, you know, and kind of show off that crown jewel, you know, and people talk about sort of mundane things like, wow, the bathrooms are amazing. But just, you know, as a guy yourself who spent so many years in and around that track, to see the improvements that are there, it is going to be a kind of a different and new track for fans when they get there. You look at the success, you know, on the track on qualifying, look at Ganassi, you look at, you know, all those kind of things that are happening, but you know this, right? The track chooses its champions. You could have all the qualifiers you want. You never know who's going to win.
No, that's for sure. I mean, you know, let's remember that on Saturday, the difference, you know, we're talking 1 mile an hour, 2 miles an hour average difference between the back of the field and the front of the field, maybe 2.5, something like that, for the most part. That's nothing. And especially come race day, that's nothing. It's all about, you know, making sure your car is what you need come race day. And it doesn't really matter where you start.
So talk a little bit about the team. So Graham is in there, I think, at 21st. Jack Harvey, 32nd. He's a new addition to the team, I think, and I've interviewed him a number of different times over the years. Jack is great. He's, like, super fun, personable, and I love that connection with Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, you guys have been working with them for quite a while now, but they're just a great fan and partner in motorsports.
They are amazing as they expand eastward. You know, they're based in Des Moines, Iowa, but, you know, they're in Western Illinois, Western Wisconsin. They're now moving into Indianapolis and into Nashville, as well as Birmingham, Alabama. I mean, they're expanding, and I think you'll see more. But if anybody's ever been to a Hy-Vee, they just blow away any other grocery store you've ever been to, in my estimation. They're great people to work with. They're absolute pros. They're producing the race at Iowa, the two races we have at Iowa this year. And I'm telling you, it's going to be something else. That'll be the most promoted race that we run on, maybe outside of the 500. So I'm expecting a great event there, great events, I should say. But, yeah, we're really proud and pleased to have Hy-Vee as our partner. You know, Jack had a bit of a tough day on Saturday, but we tried to get in line to go out. Of course, Mother Nature interfered, as she did with a few others. But, again, it's all about Sunday in the race, and we'll get him up to where he's fighting for a victory.
Let the listeners know we're talking with racing legend Bobby Rahal. And, Bobby, this is a good time. As a guy who's been in and around it, winning championships, you know, for decades, and one of the sport's, I would say, greatest ambassadors, this is a really good time to be a race fan. You can look at the enthusiasm for the 500 as one of those testaments. Of course, the sellout for Formula One in Miami. You look at Nashville's IndyCar race, what a huge success in that town was. And talk about that as the sport kind of changes and kind of, you know, tries to expand its fan base and kind of grab a hold of really that even increased popularity. It would be great to have a race right here in Chicago.
Well, I agree. We can't seem to get a mayor willing to do that. We were close with Jane Byrne back in 1982, I think it was, but that didn't happen. Yeah, I mean, Chicago would be such an ideal place, but you know, everybody's got their little axe to grind, and so nothing big like that happens. You know, Chicagoans, I guess, are okay with baseball and football, and maybe basketball, and that's about it. But having said that, it is today, I think, when you look at how many new sponsors we've brought into the series and to our team, new sponsors other teams have as well, the growth of new circuits, as you say, like Nashville, you know, there. I mean, it really is on a really positive step. Again, you had TV ratings, all that stuff, you know, attendance figures. Motor racing is becoming more and more popular, I think in some part because of the, there's certainly a lack of politics to it. It's, you know, it's all about racing, man and machine against another man and machine, or person and machine in this case. And we've had young ladies in the series like Danica and others. But, you know, I just think there's a simplicity to it that appeals to people. And we're seeing more and more young people come to the races, which is really important. So, I'm really happy to be in the series that we're in right now. And I think there's a lot of blue sky ahead of us.
Well, you mentioned it, Bobby, right? It's there's a bright future for it. People are watching it. The TV numbers are up. The racing is as exciting as it has been. And from the attendance standpoint, I'll contend, you know, and this is echoed all over the place, that there's just no substitute for being there. You know, we do a great job on the media side. Television is doing a better and better job. But when you can see a race in person, much less like the Indianapolis 500, I mean, that's insane. The world's largest one-day sporting event. But just racing in person, there's intangibles there that just hook people for life. And I think the more people we get to the track, the more fans we'll make.
No question about it. I mean, you know, good motor racing is, it's an experience. Whether we go to Long Beach, California, or Road America, or really any of the events we go to, they're more than just races. They're experiences for the spectators. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of interesting things for people to see. Obviously, the racing, you know, that's why everybody's there. But just like Southern California in April for Long Beach Grand Prix, that's where you are. And it's been that way for 45 years. And those are Road America, again, one of probably my favorite road racing circuit of them all, is another circuit that you camp out, and it's families. And it's, you know, it's just a great experience for people, and they respond to that.
And each one of those races takes on sort of the vibe of the community and the track. They're really unique experiences, and you should check them all out as you go. As we head into 106, and last thing, so Bobby Rahal, one of the great, you know, not only one of racing's greatest drivers, but great ambassadors and proponents of the sport and Chicagoans in a lot of different ways. And so, Bobby, we'll let you get back to it. But thanks so much for what you're doing. Good luck coming up.
Thank you, and
thanks for jumping on the show today.
All right. My pleasure. Take care.
720 WGN Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It is the center of the racing world, the sports world. Is an event that transcends all sports and consciousness, and even for people who aren't motorsports fans, just like the Kentucky Derby is with horse racing, everyone in the world is watching. And for the first time in a few years, there is going to be that over 400,000 in attendance as well, and they are going to be watching. It is the world's largest one-day sporting event, and of all the stars that are here, and you'll have A-list movie stars, you'll have rock stars, they'll be everywhere. There is no star bigger or brighter than our next guest. He is a Formula One champion. He's won the Daytona 500, the Indy 500. Arguably, and I would say, he is the greatest race car driver of all time, the one and only Mario Andretti. Welcome back to WGN.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's great to have you back. It's great to have you here. And the theme for this year is back home again. You think it would be almost every year, right? Because it's such a big part of the song and the pre-race. But for you, this has been a home for so many years.
Oh, yes, indeed. And of course, something different this year. You know, now we know how much we miss the fans. We missed that, obviously, the protocol that we had to all deal with. Now we're back. And like I said, we're truly back home again in Indiana. And there's something about that. I think everybody's just rejoicing in that respect. I just see so much more energy. And again, you know, for me, obviously, we always look forward to it. As you know, we have a lot of skin in this game, you know, with Michael entering. You know, he's got 5 entries and Marco, my grandson, is back, you know. So, it's a good one for us. Like I said, it's so much to look forward to.
You mentioned the excitement and feeling it and missing it on the driver's side, the team side, the racing side. But for the fans, you know, there's been racing over the last couple of years, and people watching it on television are still getting their Indy 500. This is the first time that there will be all of those events that people look forward to. They say in the calendar, we brought it up a bunch of times, you flip it, it's the month of May. Everyone's excited. There's things happening. You know, whether it's the concerts or the parades or the pageantry, like, to have that back for the fans is huge too.
Yes, indeed. And you just said it, that this is not just a motor race. It's an event. Look how much time we spend here, and then there's so much else to do. And as you said, with all the concerts and all the other things that the fans can enjoy, there's a little bit here for everyone. And you know, just this week coming on, I mean, parties, banquets, you have it.
I mean it's always... So, Mario, do you have to kind of pace yourself? Because obviously, you know, it's good to get with the media, and of course your fans love to hear from you, but there's all of that other stuff. Was it nice, at least for that respect, for a couple of years where maybe not such a heavy schedule on the celebratory side?
Yeah, but you know what? As a driver, obviously, you know, you just have to roll with the punches, but you're here to do one job, and one job only. And the best moment of May for me was always when I lowered myself in the cockpit just to for the start of the race.
For the peace, it's crazy, for the peace and quiet.
Now,
right?
Now I'm doing exactly what I really, really love. And the pageantry, everything else goes along with the tradition, you know, of this event. And that's what really makes it what it is. Quite honestly, so yeah, people don't come here just to watch a motor race. That's incidental.
I mean, Mario, you said it, so you can say anything, but you, like, the motor race itself is almost incidental. I don't know. And they always say too that as much as teams prepare, that the speedway chooses its winner, so you never know. There could always be surprises, but a lot of that pageantry and that excitement is definitely going to be there. You mentioned the skin in the game, you know, and on the family side and in and around racing forever. I got to tell you, and I've been covering racing for a long time, the IndyCar racing is really good. It's as good as I remember in recent memory. But Mario, do you feel like just in racing in general, the excitement for racing is as high as ever too?
Indeed. Exactly. But the product is producing. And you talk about IndyCar, I mean, they do have the product. I mean, the quality of the teams, and also, you know, but the talent that we have in there, as far as the young talent coming on, really, really getting it done. And then you have veterans that are still young enough for them to get it done. There are a couple of them, you know, looking for records, you know, all time for qualifying and race wins, and you know, they're trying to rob me of those, you know, but but that's wonderful, you know, that's a great thing. So yeah, IndyCar is at a good place, and I want to go back to what I just said a minute ago. You know, the race is incidental. I was only kidding, because for any fan, once you see it live, I mean, it's the only way to really witness, because you can never appreciate this true, the unbelievable speed that you really feel when you're in those grandstands. And truly, I mean, that's what everyone is saying to me, you know, so, and I believe it, you know, so.
As we reach 38 states in Canada with WGN and we're inspiring people and they're hearing you, I got to tell you, like, that's it right there. The creation of a race fan often happens the first time that they're at the track. I remember the first time that I ever set foot at this track, and there's no way that television, as good as they do, could prepare you for the sights, the sounds, the vibrations, the smells, like everything about it. So I don't want to take you all the way back, but was there a moment where you and your brother immediately fell in love with racing? You know, we'll talk about future stuff, but there had to be that genesis moment, that spark for Mario.
Oh, yes, that it was actually... I was a young teenager, fell in love, obviously, that was fascinated and curious. And at age 14, however, Aldo and I got to see the Italian Grand Prix while we were still living in Italy. And from there on, there was not a plan B anymore for my life. And I had no idea how things were going to go, because even at that time, there was no plan to come to America yet. You know, so, but that's where it all started. And can you imagine going around full circle and clinching the world championship right there in Monza, where I saw my first Grand Prix. And I won that Grand Prix the year before. Actually, I won it the second time, and we got penalized. Gilles Villeneuve and I got penalized, which was really, you know, weird. But they thought that we jumped the start. We didn't jump the start.
No. Here's the thing. You are one of the rare drivers that has that perspective as an Indy 500 winner, as a Formula One champion, winning the Daytona 500. You have all of that perspective. Earlier this month, I saw you were there as well. We were down in Miami for the Indy Grand Prix, and everyone is going crazy for Formula One. It has taken it by storm. They sold the tickets out in 11 minutes, and everyone was like, Dane, this is so amazing. I said, you have not been to the Indy 500, but the excitement for Formula One, and you know, they have that Netflix series. Talk a little bit about that. That kind of plays into the excitement for racing in general. People are excited.
No question. I mean, we've seen that throughout, but it seemed like in U.S. especially has awakened potentially a dormant Formula One fan base. However, it's also brought in some new fans that were fascinated with that Netflix series that they had. And I've seen a great bubble. I mean, it's almost like an explosion in interest here in the United States. And as you mentioned, Miami, it was spectacular. Of course, the way the presentation there was just unbelievable. They made America proud, I can tell you that. And of course, with COTA, you know, with Austin, that's a facility that's, you know, second to none in a sense, you know, here, especially here in America, is a road course. And next year, when you're going to have three Formula One races in the United States with the addition of Las Vegas, you know, that's why Michael wants to enter. I mean, that's one of the reasons, obviously. He feels it's timely to enter Formula One. I mean, he has his fingers into everything, every major discipline in the United States. And so what's missing for him is Formula One and NASCAR. And you know what? That's going to happen.
Does he ever come to you and say, like, Dad, like with NASCAR, like, what's it all about? You know, because you've been there. You've won the Daytona 500.
Well, I mean, motor racing is our life, you know, and that's it. And it's not just one specific discipline. We love it all at the top level. And, you know, again, that's what we breathe, and that's what we love.
One final thing, or maybe like half a final thing, is so you look at what's happened with IndyCar in Nashville, such a huge success going to that city, a vibrant city, exciting city, totally embraced. People, race fans, look at Miami and how it brought that city alive. Yeah. Even for Chicago, I feel like Chicago along Lakeshore Drive would be a great opportunity for IndyCar. What are your thoughts as some of these races are really working out for IndyCar to expand?
I would love to see Chicago, obviously, and I think it had been talked about in the past, because it's got some legs there. Geographically, it's not easy to find an area in any city proximity where it would fit as far as a layout for a track, and I think that was a course determined. Yeah. And so, all right, let's let's you and I promote it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Would you? We promise to attend, Mario. You'll be the grand marshal.
I'll be there. Don't worry. Don't worry.
So, very, very last thing before we get into the 106th running. As an ambassador for racing, you're doing so many things, but you are also putting your money where your mouth is. You're letting people, you're getting on the racetrack, you're driving the two-seater, and that is one, and you've shared with us, that's one of the exciting things that you do. You mentioned being able to open the door to IndyCar and letting people experience racing. No better way than to actually ride the course with you. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I always love win-win situations, and this is one of those things that I enjoy driving, of course, and you know, I always get the best car there, obviously, and I'm not just an Uber driver, you know. So, but I love the reaction that we get from fans, from the media, from the celebrities alike. When they come away, I think they have a whole new perspective, a new appreciation, you know, for what's going on. I mean, this morning, I just, for instance, as close as, say, Marco's, you know, his better half is, you know, is exposed to what we're doing. She took a ride with me, and she said, I never thought it would be anything like it, you know, that type of thing. You know, people that are right close. Sometimes I take some of our mechanics, you know, that when I shake the car down or so, and they're the ones that are surprised. So that's the best way in the world to showcase our sport and in the experience. I tell you what, they're doing a job like second to none. I mean, that pristine equipment, and we're fast and we're safe. And yeah, I'm loving this.
It is an exciting time to be, obviously, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's an exciting time to be a race fan. It's an exciting time to be Mario Andretti, right? And that's an understatement, right? Your life has been 100% excitement the entire time. So thanks, Mario, for all you do. You know, all you do for the track, for the racing, for the sport, for everyone. It's greatest driver and it's greatest ambassador. And thanks for jumping on WGN today.
Wow, thank you. Thanks for having me, Dan.
720 WGN live from Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we get ready for the 106th running of the Indy 500. And when you think motorsports excitement and cars in quantity, no better person to talk to than television icon, super host, and legendary car enthusiast, the one and only Jay Leno. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been doing the station for a long time. It's a legendary station. I got to drive the pace car in Indy a couple of times, so that was great fun. That was really exciting.
Well, the connection between WGN and Indianapolis is that, like, we were the first ever radio station to broadcast the Indy 500. So way back.
Oh, is that right?
Yep, that's right. So the connection is as close as it gets, and it's and so you've been there. You've seen the grandeur of it. There's nothing bigger. It's the world's largest one-day sporting event. And the Indy 500, it is one of those events, kind of like the Kentucky Derby, regardless of how big a fan you are of the particular sport. Like, everyone in America is watching.
Yeah, no, it's pretty exciting. I always enjoyed walking through the pits and just seeing how it all got put together. That's sort of the fun part. Because you go there, and, you know, there's the Indianapolis Museum is one of the great automotive museums as well. They've got all the early race cars, but a lot of history of transportation and vehicles in America as well. So it's because Indianapolis was the sort of second Detroit. There was a time when Indianapolis rivaled Detroit for manufacturers of cars. I mean, Detroit was always bigger, but Indy was right there with Duesenberg and Cord and Auburn and a whole bunch of other cars.
There's that history there that is there. It's undeniable. But there's this saying in racing, like, win on Sunday and sell on Monday. A lot of that goes for the sponsors that are on the car, but also for, you know, the cars themselves. And as America's favorite car collector, you know, how often has racing, or maybe success of the brand in racing, like maybe Ferrari, come into the thought process for you as an enthusiast when considering a car for the collection? I mean, does it help if it was a great race car too?
Well, sure. You know, in the early days, it was the only way. It was the only way to test the car. You know, if a car won Pikes Peak, if a car won city-to-city race or drove across country in 3 weeks, whatever the record might have been at the time, it showed that the car could take it, that it had endurance, that it had reliability. I mean, that was the best way to test the car. And there was no television, there was no radio, so all you could do was win a race. And winning a race meant you were competing against the best, so... I mean, that's how Henry Ford got started with old 999. He raced it on the dry on the frozen lakes there, Lake Michigan, I think it was. So, yeah, I mean, it's not so true these days because race cars don't really have a lot in common with street cars anymore. But up until about, you know, the mid-70s, there were times when you could literally drive a race car to Le Mans, win the race, and drive it home.
Right.
I mean, McLaren did that. So did Jaguar. So did Aston Martin. You know, that was fairly common.
You had to make sure that your race car had, like, you know, some nice luggage space in there and maybe some good ergonomics. So with you at over 300 cars now, one of the things that we often ask the drivers is what was their first car, the dream car that they were able to afford, you know, once the racing career was going on. So for Simon Pagenaud, it was a Citroen back in France, and now he's got a 69 Mustang Fastback. For Will Power, he's from Australia, it was a Holden. So for you, like, what was your first car? And then as an enthusiast, when you're always thinking, oh, man, someday I'm going to get that, what was the first one that you got that was like, okay, I made it?
Well, my first car was a 34 Ford pickup. I got that when I was 14. But the first car I got when I made it, well, you know, I used to work for Mercedes-Benz when I was a kid delivering cars and doing new car prep. So I bought at the time a 10 or 15-year-old Mercedes-Benz. Thought I'd made it pretty much then. But the premier car, which is still the number one car, it's got even the McLaren F1. That's probably the greatest. That was considered the greatest car of the 20th century, actually.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. So from dream cars to dream jobs, you've had them in iconic longtime host of The Tonight Show, now teamed up with Kevin Eubanks again on the hit show You Bet Your Life. You've done it all, and you could do anything. Now, the show is a great classic for the listeners if they haven't seen it. Game show elements, but also things Jay Leno fans love, like the headlines and fun with you and Kevin. Fans are loving it. So, I mean, it looks like you guys are having a great time with the show.
Yeah, we just got our second season, so it's really going well. People, it's basically what we used to do, jaywalking, talking to people on the street.
Right.
And, you know, the people are really very funny. I think we have the most diverse audience pool in game shows. Because, you know, most of the shows in L.A. tend to pool from people in the L.A. area. But we get folks from Florida, from Maine, from South Carolina, North Carolina, even as far away as the Congo and Nigeria. So it's actually pretty funny. Yeah, we have a great time doing it.
Now, do you think to be a successful game show host that you almost have to be a comedian, or is it just a natural, you know, just like hockey players are good at golf? Do you think that, like, you just have a, you know, a skill set that just lends itself to being a great game show host?
Well, it's different because the fun thing about our show is it's a comedy show with a game attached.
Right.
You know, if you're a game show host, you're going, the capital of Uzbekistan is what? You know, that's not really funny, but when you're talking to some odd person that collects potato chips and that's their life's work, and this potato chip looks like, William Frawley from Isle of Lucy, and they go on and on. I mean, that's what sort of makes it fun. So it's really a comedy show with a game attached to it.
Count your blessings, Jay Leno, that you have a desire to collect cars and not potato chips, because, you know, people are hardwired for this. You don't choose your hobbies or your passions, for sure.
Exactly.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for You Bet Your Life, and we'll let you get back to your garage. We know, Jay, that you have all 300 of your car radios tuned to WGN Radio.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Yes, I do.
Thanks, Jay.
I pick you guys up on satellite because, you know, I go back to the old days of media, you know, when radio was not as powerful as TV, but pretty close, especially nighttime radio. When I used to drive cross-country and stuff, when you could pick up a WGN, you know, in parts of the Midwest and just kind of listen for hours. So there's a bit of a nostalgia with the station.
That's crazy that you say that, Jay. So our in-laws live in the Villages in Florida, in Ocala. When I drive to Daytona to cover the 500, I will hear the farm report on the car radio from WGN from Florida. So depending on where you are, it gets everywhere.
I rest my case. There you go.
Thanks, Jay. We'll let you get back to it.
Hey, thanks for taking the time.
All right. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Have fun at the race. Bye-bye.
Big thanks to all of the listeners and everybody who participated into the program. We had Elio Castroneves. We had Mario Andretti. We had the Thunderbirds. We had great people from the track talking about how they're part of the community in a bunch of different ways. Women in Motorsports with Debbie Guild, and Chip Ganassi was on with us as well. Jay Leno, and you just heard it. He has promised to tune every one of his 300 cars to WGN Radio for the race. So excited to have all that happen. Stay tuned to WGNRadio.com. You can go to WGNRadio.com for more features and some of our extended content. We're going to have some bonus tracks coming up after this race and coming up tomorrow as well. And so it's going to be great. 312-981-7200 if people want to call in and give their picks for the race, because we're going to send it to the to Mark Janes and the race team there for the Indy Racing League coming up in just a second. I'm trying to think who I would predict. People come up with Will Power. We've been hearing like 2 weeks of what it is that they think is going to happen. And you look at Chip Ganassi, he's got so many drivers right in there in that first six, in that first 12. And it'd almost be, I don't want to say embarrassing, but it would almost be just a surprise if they're not able to come away with at least something big today. And then when you think of something big, nothing bigger than the fifth that Elio Castroneves is looking for, shooting for. And he mentioned it to us right here on these airwaves. He mentioned that he is the last guy to go ahead and win back to back. Jimmy Johnson, you know, capping off seven Cup Series championships. If he can win the 500, he's got to be in that conversation. And, of course, Mario Andretti, excited as everyone is for this. So thanks to everybody who listened to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Sending it to Mark Janes, Indy 500, back home again on 720 WGN.